Happy Wednesday, everyone. This is Pam Stack, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. If you're listening to us live right now, please click the follow button so my boss knows I'm doing my job. I want to give a couple shout-outs tonight to our underwriters for the show. First of all, I'd like to thank Robert Gregory Brown, who not only is a very fine suspense and thriller novelist, he is also an editor, a producer, and he's a very fine musician who created and plays our theme song. Thanks, Rob. You can find him at robertgregorybrown.com. I also want to thank www.get11.com. It's a new way to read ebooks and also a new way for authors to be seen. I'd also like to thank author D.D. Corbett, author of The Amaretto, A Florida Keys Sailing Adventure. You can find that on Amazon. I'd like to thank our two new underwriters, Dalton Creek Candle Company and Poise Pen Productions, providing quality, beautiful promotional items for authors. And you can find them on their websites at Dalton Creek Candle Company and Poise Pen Productions. Tonight, we're celebrating Women's History Month by honoring women writers. We continue tonight with three women who write women's fiction, and all of them have very different styles of writing. But I'd like to first introduce my guest co-host. Teresa Russ is a book reviewer. She is a voracious reader. She reads across genres. She loves books. She tells me she has a collection that is slowly inching her out of her home. But more than that, she is the owner of Poise Pen Productions, one of our underwriters. She works exclusively with authors to help them create promotional items, graphics, and all their other marketing needs. It is really important that we honor all women this month, and particularly those who work behind the scenes with authors. So I'm very proud to introduce Teresa Russ. Teresa, welcome to Authors on the Air.
Thank you very much, Pam, and thank you for having me. It's an honor to be part of this Women's History Month celebrating women's writers. I'm just so happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. And I have to say, in full disclosure, that Teresa's company provides a lot of the promotional items that Authors on the Air Global Radio Network uses, and they also are participating in our huge raffle contest giveaway, which by all accounts will end up being well over $500 or $600 worth of goodies. We have 25 or 30 books. We've got everything you can imagine. You can go to the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network and look at all the swag in that tote bag. Teresa, who are we going to talk to tonight?
Well, we're going to talk to the wonderful Linda Joyce, the wonderful Diane Jones, and the wonderful Taylor Ann tonight.
Fabulous.
I am so looking forward to speaking with them.
Who are you going to start with tonight?
I think I'm going to start with Linda. Joyce tonight.
Hi, Linda. Welcome to Authors on the Air.
Hi there. Hi, Teresa. Hi, Pam. I'm really excited to talk with y'all. And I have to tell you, I'm excited to meet D.B. Jones. But I have been friends with Miss Taylor Ann on Facebook, and this is the first time I've heard her voice. So I'm very excited tonight.
How wonderful. I love that. It's kind of serendipitous when people come together on this show and people who've known each other for a long time and they're finally hearing each other's voices. I love that. So I'm going to turn this part over to Teresa, who's going to talk to Linda Joyce about her wonderful books. It's all yours, Teresa.
Thank you, Pam. And Linda, thank you. And thank you, ladies, for being here. I know that all of you, all three of you, have an upcoming new release that's going to be coming out within the next few months. And I just would like to kind of know, how did you develop the idea for your most recent work? Linda, I know that you are working on Behind the Mask. And could you tell us a little bit about that?
The story about Behind the Mask, the story behind the story. It's set in fictional Ascension, Louisiana. And it's based on a trip that I made. My hubby surprised me for Valentine's Day to Donaldsonville, Louisiana, a number of years back, and we stayed at Bittersweet Plantation, which is owned by Chef John Fulce. And so my visit there, I got to meet a very famous local artist and see the the pictures of a sunken pirate ship and meet a cast of very interesting characters. And so out of that trip was the inspiration for the setting and some of the secondary characters in Behind the Mask. My hero and heroine are experiencing a surprising, for both of them, reintroduction at a 12th night party. Her name is Shalise Boudreau, and Shalise is an ex-New York model, and she's returned home to start a new business because her modeling career in New York has diminished down to nothing. And Chaz Robichaux has come home, the conquering hero. He had once been a local bad boy, and now he's an entrepreneur with a Harvard degree.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Do you have a little maybe snippet or a little teaser that you could give us?
Sure. I do. One second here. I apologize. I was going to talk about Camilla and Jared because I know that they're your favorites, Teresa.
Camilla is absolutely my favorite character, I believe, ever.
Well, you haven't met Shalise yet.
No, I have not.
She's kind of a plucky young lady, and she certainly believes that there's a whole lot more than looks that matter in life.
And I will say this, that I have seen all three covers for these books, your wonderful books that are coming out, and they're just absolutely gorgeous, all three of them. And I really love that. And if you would like, Linda, you can go ahead and give us a little snippet from Camilla and Jared's story.
Well, would you like that instead?
I would.
I had pulled that up before. Just to give a little background about the book that's coming up with Camilla and Jared, my Flirtily series is going to have 5 books. The first 3 are out. The first one is Branna and James. The second one is Biloxi and Nick. And the third one is Camilla and Jared. And Camilla is the black sheep in the party. So the book that I'm going to be coming out next, that's going to come out next, is actually a companion to the series called Flirtily Brides, and it's the wedding story of each of these couples. So this is my little blurb about Miss Camilla. Reformed party girl Camilla Lynn accepts Jared Richardson's ring, but she won't be pressured into setting a wedding date at Flirtily. When Stephen Sterling, the bane of her old life, shows up to convince her of his undying love, he's not beneath blackmail to get her back. Camilla fears Jared will believe Stephen's lies because of her shameful past. Meanwhile, Jared's business has taken off and he has no time to return to Wyoming. Historical restoration contractors are in demand after the hurricane, and work takes him away from Camilla for long stretches of time. He's concerned someone's sending her flowers. When Stephen threatens Jared, he fights back. But he won't marry Camilla if the only reason she sets a date is to avoid Stephen. Together they learn their love is as steadfast as the Wyoming sky is blue, and Mardi Gras is the perfect time for a wedding.
Oh, wow. Oh, now I really want to read that. Thank you for reading that. And like I said earlier, I believe that Camilla Lynn, I don't know, I love her. I love the character. And thank you for reading that. And now I'm going to go and talk to Diane. Diane?
Hi.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Pam, welcome to Authors on the Air. This is D.B. Jones, also known as Diane. She's given us permission to use her first name, but you will find her books under D.B. Jones. It's all yours, Teresa.
Diane, I know that you have another Beyond book that's coming out soon, Beyond Secret, Murder in Maitland, which is just right down the road from me, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. It's actually Behind Secrets. I have so many secrets in this Madison Heart Mystery Series.
I'm sorry.
Hard to keep up with.
I had it typed wrong. I am so sorry. But Madison Heart is a wonderful character, and she has shown such growth throughout the series, and I love her a lot. Could you tell us a little bit about the new book that's coming out?
Well, the new book is really kind of, the whole series takes place in the Central Florida area. My hometown is in Maitland, Florida, and so this particular book, Behind Secrets, kind of came from some incidents that happened back in my childhood, and I've elaborated on it and made it a fiction. She's a tenacious ex-FBI agent who was, after so many years, got disillusioned with her job with the FBI as a criminalist and returns home to open her own private investigation agency and gets partnered up with a sassy but sexy detective, Josh Logan. And their relationship has grown over the several books I've done with those two characters. And in this book, she runs across a situation that touches home for her. It involves her family in this, so she's torn between not putting her personal self in front of her investigation, and she's reminded constantly that, you know, she's like a bulldog. When she gets a bone, she won't let go until the case is solved. And there's a very complex set of murder mysteries that span up the eastern coast that all revolve around the central one in Maitland. And so in order for her to uncover the mysteries of these other murders, she must first deal with the one at home. And it's been fun writing this one because I get to drive around through the streets of my hometown where this is all taking place.
Wow, that sounds intriguing. Is the relationship going to heat up?
Well, now, Teresa, I'm not going to tell everything.
Oh, come on, Diane. Give us a little hint here. Because it started heating up at the end of the last book. So.
Well, yes, it did, and it certainly has potential in this one as well. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Well, that's all
we
can
I've introduced the new character in this book, and I'm not sure where we're going to go with him, but... don't you worry, Josh and Madison are still at it.
Well, he just needs to stay away from Madison. That's all I can say.
Uh-oh, look out.
Okay, and thank you so much, Diane. Now we're going to move on to Taylor Ann. Hey, Taylor, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you, Teresa?
I'm doing great. It's wonderful to actually hear your voice.
Finally.
We have talked a lot on Facebook and instant message and private message, but it's the first time we've actually spoke in person. It's really nice to hear from you tonight. And you
Me
had
too.
A really big cover reveal with your new book that's coming out, Smoke and Mirrors.
I did.
Yep.
Smoke and Mirrors is coming out later this year.
I know. You kept giving us little teasers of the book cover, like a little section at a time. And finally, we got to see the whole thing, and Pam actually had it first last night, and I'm like, where did you get that?
Yeah.
She's like, Taylor sent it to me, and I'm like, okay.
Well, as we speak right now, I'm posting it on my profile page in Facebook, and I'm going to go ahead and go to Taylor's page. I'm going to go to the Authors on the Air book reviews page so everybody can see that. And I hope you enjoy it. It is a gorgeous, stunningly beautiful cover.
Thank you. I love the cover. My cover artist did a great job. We actually had to do a redo because, as you can see, the Abby in the picture is just long-haired, down-to-earth, you know, just so relaxed. The first picture that they came out with was way too elegant for Abby. I mean, it was a Sophia Loren picture, and I'm like, no, that doesn't cut it. So they redid it for me, and I'm very pleased with my cover. Very.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And well, could you tell us a little bit about Smoke and Mirrors, Taylor?
Sure. I came across this idea. It's the book is set between New Orleans and Orange Beach. We took a family trip out to Orange Beach, and I literally fell in love with the place. The sand, the sun, the surf, just the whole nine yards. And I could just picture Graham owning a beach bar here. I mean, that is just him to a T. He's ex-independent agent who works with the FBI. And Abby had to leave New Orleans. I mean, she had to run because she witnessed a drug deal and a murder gone bad. Well, she didn't know who else to turn to. So naturally she's going to turn to Graham, who she had a previous one-night stand. My best friend / assistant calls it a previous rendezvous. So take it how you will. But anyway, Abby and Graham, they struggled to stop this gang of ruthless criminals, and their old flames are rekindled, but everything is not as it seems. The big question is, will Graham stand by his word to protect Abby, or does he have a sinister agenda of his own? So I'm really excited for this book to come out.
Oh yeah, it sounds wonderful. I mean, there now we have like three new books that we're all going to enjoy. We have Behind the Mask by Linda and Behind Secrets, Murder in Maitland by D.B. Jones, and now Smoke and Mirrors by Taylor Ann.
I'm telling you, I can't wait to get these books in my hands so I can read them. They all sound fascinating, and when I was doing research for the show, I'm like, wow, I really want to read all these books. And then when Taylor sent me the cover reveal and swore me to secrecy, I said, okay, I won't say a word. And Teresa said to me last night, how'd you get that? And I said, well, I didn't post it till today because it's the reveal. And so she said, well, you better send that to me. And I said, okay, I will. But I never did. So now I'll send it to you.
No, she didn't.
I didn't. I really, I stuck to my word to you, Taylor, that I didn't.
Well, thank you, Dale.
You're welcome, Dawn. So, Teresa, I'm going to ask you some questions first, and then we're going to get back to our other guests. You have been an avid reader for all your life, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, all my life, as far back as I can remember. See Dick and Jane and
right.
Nancy Drew, the Hardy Boys, I mean, way
sure.
back when.
Sure. That's the same as me. I think once you fall in love with books, you never fall out of love with books. And it certainly is the case with me. Are you one of those people who, when you're reading at home, you can have a cacophony of sound going on around you and you don't hear it because you're so immersed in the story?
I can. My husband could be sitting next to me and having a conversation and I never hear him.
Poor guy.
And he's like, don't you remember? I told you that last night. I'm like, no.
So, but you also are different from most readers in that you cross genres when you read. So, what are the different genres that you enjoy reading?
Oh my gosh, there is just so much because I just enjoy reading a good, well-written book. I mean, I love thrillers, I love mystery, I love women's contemporary, I love romantic suspense. I mean, science fiction.
Science fiction, too, right?
Yes.
Do you like
yes.
steampunk also? Do you like steampunk?
I do, but I'm just now getting into that.
I love
and
steampunk,
I'm
yeah.
just finding it totally fascinating.
Yes, it is. When you are reviewing a book, what is the first thing you look at?
Oh, gosh. The first thing that I really look at is, well, let me just tell you, the last book that I read and I reviewed was The Steel Kiss by Jeffrey Deaver. The man's a master.
Yes.
I like a book that flows, that I can read it, and it's like you said, I don't pay attention to anything else that's going on around me because I am so entranced in what I'm reading.
Yes.
And that's that's the first thing I look for. It has to keep my attention. I mean, as many books as I read, there are so many that I try to read and I have to put down because I just can't. I can never get into the story. I guess to answer your question, I like a story that begins well and that can hold my attention from the start.
Yeah, do you find that there are so many great books out there that if you come across a stinker, you just figure in the first few pages you know right away if you're going to be stuck with that story, right?
I do sometimes. Sometimes I always try to put it aside and to go back to it later because maybe it was just the mood I was in at the time or just it wasn't resonating with me at the time I was trying to read it. So I always go back and pick up a book at least the second time before I dismiss it totally.
What doesn't float your boat about books? What is your pet peeve when you're reading as a reviewer?
My pet peeve is errors. There are so many errors. And I'm not talking about the occasional misspelled word because, I mean, I have seen some books from big publishing houses that may have a misspelled word in there, a typo, that just didn't get caught. I'm talking about error after error after error. And I mean, I'm not a writer, and I have total respect for anyone who has the courage to put themselves out there. But get a good copy editor.
Right.
That's the best thing that I could say. Is just because sometimes the errors are so many and so blaring that I just can't continue the story.
Right. That's the kind of the way I am. I get 1,000 books come over my desk in one year, and it's really difficult for me to be forgiving if by the first chapter I'm not hooked. And I have to tell you, there are sometimes the first couple of pages, I'm saying, "What is this nonsense? It doesn't make sense to me." And I try to decipher it in the first few pages, and I can't. I just can't. And my feeling is, I think we're in, like, the glory days. I've never read as many great books as I have last year and kicking off this year. And, you know, we do an awards ceremony. We do an end-of-the-year award for our favorite authors and books. And so I'm really getting kind of picky about it. So I understand where you're coming from. You have a little bit more patience than I do. I want to find really good writers, and I want to speak to them on the show. So I can kind of get where you're going. Is there one genre you prefer over the other? You mentioned science fiction. Is that the one that really floats your boat?
Well, actually, as much as I like science fiction, I'm more into a really good mystery. I like a mystery.
You had a chance to speak to Jeffrey Deaver last night. And you told me that was the first time you read any of his work. What did you think about his book, The Steel Kiss?
Well, it was a wonderful book. His writing style. I have never ever read a book that an author could put so much description in so few words. It was amazing.
Yeah, we I think we talked about that. We called it the economy of words. And you even said that to Jeffrey Deaver. And as a matter of fact, he was very thrilled to hear that you loved the book, that you had not read him before. And that gave him, he went crazy when you told him that. So that's really nice. Congratulations on that. I hope you're a convert to Jeffrey Deaver now. He's fabulous.
Definitely.
Yeah. I want to take just a few minutes here right now to remind everyone that this is a trademark copyrighted podcast solely owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. Tonight we're honoring women writers, as we are every night this month that I'm on. And with us tonight is my guest host, Teresa Russ, who's a book reviewer. She also works on behalf of authors to help them with graphics, to help them with promotional items, and so on. And in all full disclosure, Teresa's company, Poised Prime Productions, is the person who we get our swag from, and we love it. So if you want to know more about it, go to her Facebook page at Poised Pen Productions. But joining Teresa and I are the fabulous authors of Linda Joyce, Taylor Ann, and D.B. Jones. I want to take a moment and speak to the three of our guests, but I want to remind you that the phone lines are now open. You can call in at 347-633-9609. The first person who calls in gets the book, one book from any of these three authors, compliments of Authors on the Air. So I'm going to start with Linda, and I'm going to kind of stay in the same order that you were in. Linda, tell me, when you first got interested in writing, did you know what genre you were going to write? Did you have a very clear idea?
The first time I wrote a book, I was 11 going on 12.
Wow.
And it was a romance. And I'm kind of still there today. I lived in Japan, and we didn't have much of a playground. So at lunch, when other people were playing kickball and swinging on the monkey bars, I was writing pages. And literally on the top bleacher, there were about six or seven girls. I would spend all night writing. I would put a towel, roll it up at the bottom of my door so my mama couldn't see the light underneath my door, and I would handwrite pages. And the next morning I'd get on the bus, and I'd handwrite pages. I had a 45-minute ride to school, and then I would hand out pages, and they would line up, and one would read page one and so on, and I would continue to write. And so my first book was a romance.
You were quite the entrepreneur at that time, right? I love that.
Oh, but boy, it cost me big.
Did it really? You're so funny.
Yes, because I had a teacher with very tight panties from Boston.
Oh.
And you have to remember that my father was in the military. And where I went to school and where we lived were two different bases. And you never want your daddy to have to go to his commander and say that he's got a child that's in trouble at school and he has to take off work.
Oh, boy.
My teacher got a hold of my pages, and she told me that I couldn't do that at school anymore. And she called my parents in for a teacher's, parent conference teacher meeting. And my teacher said that the language and the subject matter was just too adult. Now, mind you, the most my characters did was hold hands, which I thought was an incredibly big deal at the time.
Sure.
But I have branched out a little bit more. I like to throw in, I'm getting a little bit more into mystery and leaning a little bit more to women's fiction. And I think issues of women are so important, and this is where I'll be going, but I think I will always have at least one foot in romance.
Good for you. I like that. Let's take a call. Hi, you're live. Hi, Cindy.
Sam.
How are you?
Hey, Cynthia. I'm fine. How are you guys?
Good. You want to say hi to everybody? I think you know everyone, right?
I know
Cynthia
you.
I
know Teresa.
Okay.
I know Linda.
Linda, and you know Taylor?
I know Taylor through Teresa.
Okay.
Hi. I don't know D.P. Jones, but I'm going to have to actually pull a Pam and go, I want to have all these books.
Okay.
They all sound really, really good.
For those of you listening, Cynthia is our director of book reviews, and she is also book crazy the way that Teresa and I are. But Cynthia specializes in romance and erotica, and she is the person who does our romance and erotica reviews. And so you're in the right place, aren't you, to get the women's fiction and romance, Cindy? Do you have questions for any of our guests tonight?
I just wanted to tell Linda that I am waiting impatiently for the Fleur-de-Lis Bride series. since I've read all the bio books, so I'm waiting impatiently for the bride. And, yeah, I have to agree with Teresa on the favorites of all three of them. But Taylor's books, I haven't gotten a chance to read one of them yet. They also sound very good. And I am a bit like Teresa in the fact that I love to read across a lot of genres, too. So DP's books sound very good,
too.
Diane,
I put her name wrong. It's supposed to be DP. Sorry. It's my fault. I did it wrong.
Well, then I'll say Diane. I'm sorry.
We're just saying,
that's,
you know,
quite
I'm,
all right. You could call me Diane, DB, or whatever, just as long as you read my books.
There you go.
I'm playing Teresa as my personal assistant. She did not check this stuff out. It's her fault. I'm putting all the blame on Teresa.
Right, yeah.
It's my fault, yes.
So I you know, Diane's another Florida gal, so that's tons of fun. I'm glad about that. We'll make sure you get books sent to review. Any specific questions?
Not any explicit questions, except I just really am so very proud that it's Women Writers Month.
Thank you.
I am so very proud of the fact that Pam is getting many amazing female writers on the show this month who have written such amazing books. And it really is a cross genre with contemporary romance, with
everything.
With women's fiction, with thrillers, with murder mystery, romantic suspense. There's just a little bit of everything, and I think that's wonderful because there have been so many female writers out there who have a path for all the women writers that we have today.
It's true. It's true.
And it just keeps getting better and better, and I think it's
sure
hilarious.
Does.
That they used to come out, they came out a few months ago saying, oh my God, romance is just so passe, and they couldn't be more wrong.
No, it's not. It is truly, women's fiction is, you know, and romance drives the market. So we know that. Those of us who get book requests all the time, we know that. So I'm so glad you called in. Cindy, we'll go ahead and talk to these ladies and make sure you have books to read, okay?
Sounds good to me.
Thanks,
great talking to all of you guys.
Bye, Cynthia.
Right,
bye. Thank you for calling, Cynthia.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, hon. So I want to move on now to talk to Taylor. Taylor, congratulations on the cover reveal. It is a beautiful, stunning book. I love that. The cover evokes a mood as well. And was that intentional when you were doing your design?
Sure it was. You know, smoke and mirrors. It's basically just what it says. You never know who to trust. You never know who to believe. What's looking back at you through that mirror? And my cover portrayed it exactly.
And there is a locket on a long chain also, or a medallion of some sort on a chain. And I like that a lot. I like it a lot. It's beautiful. So I'm really interested in reading that. When you decided to start writing, when was that? And who inspired you? Whose books did you just not want to ever put down?
Well, let's see. I'm going to go back many, many years ago. when I was in junior high and high school, I never went anywhere without a book. Always had a book in my hand to read. And most of the time, they were the Harlequin romance books. So I guess that's where I got my hook as far as romance.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, I actually wrote a book, penned my first novel. well, it was more probably more of a short story. I was in my early 20s. I mailed it out to a publisher. No research, no input from anyone. And, yeah, I know that's kind of crazy, especially these days. But, yes, it was sent out before the days of email. So that's how long ago we're talking about.
Wow.
Anyway, the story was rejected, and I was just, like, totally defeated. So I just filed it away, put it away, never saw it again. Well, 20-something years later, I kind of came into a new life. I started fresh. I wrote, I researched, and I submitted my Heat Flash. I submitted that to a publisher. And guess what? They rejected it. So I was heartbroken again. But my editor, who I still use today, she gave me a chance. She worked with me one-on-one for over a year. We did edits,
wow,
critiques, rewrites, point of view. I mean, you name it, we went through it one-on-one.
You learned
finally,
the craft.
My book was ready. I was learning the craft, exactly. And I was doing this all alone, okay? At this point, I had not shared with my family and friends that I was writing. Big mistake. Big mistake. I would not recommend that to anyone. If you're going to write, share your experience. So anyways, the Wild Rose Press accepted Heat Flash in 2013. So, I mean, at that point, my dream was like becoming a reality. And,
congratulations.
You know, reading and writing, thank you, has always been my escape. You know, it's just, it's a getaway to a completely different world. You know, it lets me travel someplace I've never been. And that's my goal, is to bring that reality escape and that hope to other people. You know, if a person reads my books and live with my characters and they can forget about their daily struggles for a little while, then, hey, I've succeeded. You know,
you absolutely
never lose
have.
Hope.
You absolutely have. Now, you write romantic suspense. And
yes.
So you've always got to kind of have a little mystery going on in there. And a lot of people don't understand that just because you're writing romantic suspense, it's every bit as difficult as writing a mystery. Because essentially, the romance may begin the mystery, correct?
Correct, right. And it's every bit as difficult, you know, as, to write that as well.
I bet it is. Congratulations on submitting your book. Do you have... and being accepted. Do you have that first manuscript still?
I do. No, actually, no, I do not. I thought I had it. I went looking for it a while back, and no, I did not have it. I think in the just my moving, I lost it somewhere. And,
wow,
and of course, it was not saved, you know, on a computer at that point.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know,
everybody,
I still know
you had
the
a typewriter.
Idea. I still have the idea. Well, it was on a computer, but it was before the days of saving them on CDs and thumb drives.
I see. Okay.
I do, yeah. And, I do still remember that story, though. I could rewrite it one day.
Do you have an interest in rewriting it?
I've never considered it. But, yeah, I really think I could rewrite it.
Good for you.
I mean, it was a romance. It was not a suspense. It was strictly romance.
But that's okay. I read a lot of thrillers, and, you know, I read a lot of noir crime fiction, too. And I have to tell you, I need to go and read romance after a while to cleanse my palate. There's nothing wrong with it. Because not only do I do this show, I do noir on the radio, and I'm also the production assistant for Skid Row Chatter, which is all noir also. And it's crime fiction. It's dirty and gritty and nasty and difficult. And so I love a really well-written straight romance. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos to you for doing it. Kudos to you. Miss D.B. Jones, Diane.
Yes,
I love the
I'm
fact
here.
That we're Florida neighbors. I was born and raised in Miami, although I'm in Southwest Florida now. So, you and Teresa and I kind of have this odd looking triangle. I think you know
we
are. So
yeah.
That's really good. where did you get your inspiration from? Who inspired you to pick up a pen and paper, whether it was a teacher, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, you're an author? When, who gave you that idea that you wanted to write?
My story, Pam, is quite different from most. I'm in my 70s, and my husband and I were composers of flute music for 35 years.
I saw that. I saw it. It was so fascinating to me. Fascinating to me.
Yeah, we composed and recorded and you know, played flute for all those years. And then my husband passed away, and kind of I was left dangling and not knowing what I was going to do with my life. And I went back to school at age 50, got a degree, and then lost my mother and brother recently, 2 years ago. And I just can remember what my mother would say to me is, don't wait till you can't do what you've always wanted to do. And that night I sat down and wrote the first several chapters of the first book I ever wrote, and that was a young adult fantasy novel. And I wrote a whole trilogy, and matter of fact, the third book now is being released in April, and on April 3rd, I think, 3rd or 5th, I'm not sure, but my heart has always been in mystery, and so after I finished those, I started writing mystery and enjoyed it, so I just couldn't stop.
I have to tell you, you are the reason that we honor women during Women's History Month. What an amazingly outstanding story. Congratulations. It is an honor to have you on the show. Honestly,
well,
Diane.
Thank you.
And I want to tell you something. You have to know that Carolyn Brown, who writes cowboy romance, and mm-hmm. she writes women's romance, women's fiction too, she is a great grandma. And Carolyn's been on this show, and I love her dearly. I call her Caro Mia, but she did not start her career till well into her 60s.
Yeah, I wrote my first book at 69.
I think that's amazing. It gives me hope that I'm going to still be rocking and rolling on the radio. I really honor you for that. I'm so impressed.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations. Chin chin to you. I'm raising my water glass. You know, later comes the wine, but I'm raising my water glass to you right now, Diane. How fun.
Well, thank you.
I was fascinated by the fact that you and your husband were flute players and that you recorded a lot of music. May I assume it was not classical music? Were you playing other types of music?
Well, they didn't really have a name for it. We kind of just created our own music. Amazon still carries our music.
I saw that.
Still sells
yeah.
it. Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of a relaxation music.
Mm-hmm. How wonderful. A friend of mine in Miami plays in an orchestra. She plays the flute, and she also plays in an all flute ensemble. So, and she's always showing pictures of her flutes on Facebook, and I love. And she's a riot. She's wonderful. She's got a great sense of humor. She's also a kitty lover, so I have a fondness in my heart for her. Do you ever have an interest in going back to fantasy, Diane?
Well, I just finished the third book in the Willow trilogy, left it. At the end, it says the end for now, which there's a few characters there that are calling me to take them a little further, but I'm not ready yet. I'm still very much involved with the Madison Heart Mysteries, and I've already got the next one plotted out after Behind Secrets, Murder in Maitland. So I'm still in that mode where I want to pursue the mysteries.
Good for you.
But that, But the other genre gives me that break, which is also very nice.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of, as you know, there's a lot of research going when you do a murder mystery. You've got
yes.
to have your facts, and I spend a great deal of time with that. And after a while, it's good to have another genre to kind of, like you said, refresh or
yes.
regroup.
Yes.
So
cleanse
I
your palate
that.
And start all over again.
Cleanse my palate. That's a good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I do enjoy the fantasies.
And Pam, can I say that?
Sure.
I was fortunate enough to be a beta reader for Diane for the last Willow book, and I'm just going to tell you, it's fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm glad you told me that, because I'm fascinated by fantasy that's well written.
It is very well written.
There are a lot of people who are doing world building that doesn't connect with me on any level. But when I have a fantasy writer who world builds and it connects with me right away, I'm hooked. That's it. That's a book that I won't put down. I'll read straight beginning to end. So I'm really anxious to read your books, Diane. And congratulations.
Well, thank you, Pam.
You really have given me hope that there's life beyond, you know, my next birthday. And that.
Well, I'm already.
I have no intentions
of giving up anytime soon.
I don't want to either. When I talk to friends who say, I'm retiring when I turn 62, I'm thinking, oh, no, what will you do then? Yeah, but I've been working all my life, and I'm like, so haven't we all. But still, you know, I mean, I love what I do. I think I'm the luckiest person in the world. I don't know anyone who gets to, you know, speak to celebrities the way I do, and my celebrities are writers. So thank you, all of you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Pleasure. I want to just we have so little time left, and really I needed to expand this show and really make it longer, because you all have a story that's uniquely your own, and I will make sure you come back individually again.
Well, thank you.
I want to ask you, Teresa, I'm going to save you for last, but I want you to stew on the question. Linda, what's the best piece of advice anyone ever gave you? It doesn't necessarily have to be about writing, but maybe it was about writing. What's the best piece of advice you ever got?
Life is a journey, not a destination.
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite things.
My sister had it engraved on a bracelet for me, and because I was quoting it all the time.
Yeah, it's true. It's the journey along the way. There is an old essay called The Station that talks about, you know, going on a train and you pass all these hills and valleys and, you know, you see all this landscape, and all the while you're thinking, oh, when I grow up, and then, oh, when I get married, and oh, when I have children, and when I have this fabulous job, and before you know it, you're at the station and life is over. So it's not the station, it's the journey. I'm so glad you told me that. Thank you. Taylor, what about you?
Yes. I would have to say that would be never give up, no matter what your dream is, no matter what your goal is.
Yes.
Just never give up. It's always possible.
Yes, it is, isn't it? It's true. So the impossible dream really is possible if you don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Correct. That is correct.
And Diane, as the stateswoman of the group, I'm sure you've given and received a lot of advice over your lifetime. What resonates with you?
Well, there's several, but the thing that I think that hits me is it's never too late to start, except when you stop.
I mean,
there's always something else going on in the world, and if you want to write, sit down and write. Don't worry about what you're going to write. Just write. You know, I just can't emphasize enough. So many people tell me all the time, I've got a story inside, and I tell them, well, then write it. Don't wait. Well, I have children. I've got to do this. No, just write. You've got 15 minutes in the day. Write. Don't wait
exactly.
till you're too old and can't.
Boy, you're not kidding. Because if you write 100 words a day,
mm-hmm.
before you know it, you've got a book.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Amazing. Good advice. Teresa, what about you?
Well, growing up as a young teenager, and, you know, you're always trying to compare yourself, I think, to someone else. My father used to always tell me to always be yourself because everyone else is already taken.
Oh, I like that.
That's a great one.
That's a great one. Well, and I will tell you, my philosophy about everything is pay it forward. I think kindness is the word for the year, and pay it forward has always been my motto. I've been very, very lucky to have wonderful guests like you on the show and have wonderful people like Teresa and Cindy that I get to work with all the time. And it's not work for me. I say I'm going to play now because it's not work. You know, we stay busy. We do a lot of things, but we love it. I am so grateful for Linda Joyce, Taylor Ann, and D.B. Jones for joining Teresa and I tonight on Authors on the Air. Thank you for celebrating Women's History Month, but particularly Women's Writers Month. My hat's off to you ladies for doing a phenomenal job. Will you all come back one day?
Oh, we'd
yes,
love
certainly.
To.
I would love to have you all come back. Thank you so much. Teresa, you and I are, we're going to talk again tomorrow, I know. Friday is a very, very special guest. Tony McGee-Causey joins me on Friday after a long absence from writing. Her new book is called The Saints of the Lost and Found. It is, you know, without a doubt, one of the best books I've read in 10 years. It is Southern Gothic, Southern Noir. It is unlike anything you've ever read. I hope you'll join me at 9 o'clock on Friday for Tony McGee-Causey. In the meantime, I encourage you to go and find the books by Linda Joyce, Taylor Ann, and D.B. Jones, and also look for D.B. Jones's recordings in Amazon as well. And if you want to find Teresa, you can go find her at Poise Pen Productions on Facebook. Ladies, have a lovely, lovely week, and thank you so much for being with me.
Well, thank you, Pam.
Thank you for having us.
It's been our pleasure.
Thank you.
It's been so much fun.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Teresa. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all. Have a really great evening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time. Teresa, thanks for everything, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.